Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gigax, and I am here with world-class running mate and fellow chargy, I guess you would call him, Michael Brazemley. He's bringing me down into the pit of malfeasance with him. Say hi, everybody. Say hi.
Hi, everyone.
Yeah. So we had our union meeting on Wednesday last. It was Wednesday, December 6th or 4th or whatever day that was. It doesn't... What day was it?
Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday. Whatever the last Wednesday. Yeah, because this episode will probably drop the following Wednesday. We're recording this on Sunday, and I am missing the Buffalo Bills and Rams game to do this for you guys. You're welcome. So, anyway, the meeting was interesting, as always. And leading into the meeting, sorry, Michael, I got a personal story that I got to tell going into this. So hang tight for a minute. Maybe say hi to Annie. Annie still madly loves Michael. So anyway, I was informed that my... What? Did you hear that? That buzzing? Oh, it was outside. It must have been outside. All right. Sorry about that, guys. Anyway, I was informed that my application to be steward at my station was finally going to be taken up at this branch meeting. It kept getting put off. And, you know, they're just dragging their feet, not making a decision. As far as I know, I was the only applicant. And so I was finally going to get a decision on my application. It was on the agenda. And I had an email to that effect. Great. So the meeting comes and goes, the executive board meeting, and I write to him, hey, what's the status of my application? And the president writes back to me and says, well, we appointed somebody at this station and we appointed somebody at that station, and that was it. So, all right.
But not for your station.
No, not for my station. No, there was still a vacancy at my station. Now, those other two stations had no stewards at all.
So that means he has still failed to do his job to install a steward for over a year.
Yeah, because ultimately in the bylaws, that is his job, is to fill vacancies by appointment. That when there's a vacancy by resignation or I forget what the other word was, but you know, when there's a vacancy, it's his job to fill it. And of course, he's not doing that. He did at least submit for applications, and I put in my application, and then he just sat on it.
Oh, that's because you filed a complaint, not because of who was doing his job.
I mean, I didn't file a complaint at that point.
Was not really a complaint. You were just saying, hey.
I was complaining that, yeah, hey, you're not doing your job.
Uh-huh. Hey, are you going to do this or not?
Yeah, right, exactly.
You sent him an email, so that is kind of a complaint.
Yeah, sure. It's not charges, but it is a complaint. That's mm-hmm. fair. Like, mm-hmm. hey, you're required to do this in our bylaws. You should do it. I guess, yeah, some people think that's inappropriate.
you have the right to complain.
Of course I do.
You've been alternate steward for a long time.
Yeah, that's right. And we've had this vacancy for a long time.
And the steward position was open for over a year. So
right.
You have the right to complain. Why they're making it so that you don't get paid.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's BS.
Even though I'm doing the work mm-hmm. and doing a decent job at it. So now, you know, because I know the bylaws, because I've read the NALC Constitution, I know that now that he's finally made a decision, any decision by the president can be appealed to the branch. And so I wrote back to him and I'm like, hey, what's the rationale of your decision? Or like, I don't remember what exactly I wrote. I'm going to look it up real quick. You know, even though I still don't edit this podcast, I have figured out how to use the pause button. And that works pretty well because I just went and grabbed my phone and pulled up the email. So what he wrote was the executive board voted to only appoint the two applicants at the two stations with no union stewards present as paid stewards. That was his answer to my direct question of what is the status of my application.
It's called not answering the question, answering with a definitive.
Not answering definitively, uh-huh. Yeah, that's for yeah. sure. He certainly wasn't direct about the rejection.
He just keeps playing games.
Yeah, but clearly yeah. this is a rejection. And so here's what I wrote back. You told me that when the executive board felt someone was qualified, a steward would be appointed at East. You also had flyers pointed at East aimed at filling the vacant position. Was the executive board unable to find any qualified candidates? Since you actively sought applications for steward at East, and I put in an application, and I was not chosen to be a steward, I would like to know what the rationale was for leaving the position vacant. Does the executive board feel the carriers at East are better off with that position being left vacant? So here again, I'm asking very directly, like, dude, what's the deal here? And the answer that I got, would you like to guess what Paul's response was to that, Michael?
Probably something simple. Or no response.
No response at all. That is correct. No response at all.
Most of the time, it'll be like, I just read the rules.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, we'll get to one of those. So, okay. You don't want to respond to me? That's fine. I know in the Constitution, I have the right to appeal any decision of the president to the branch. And since he's finally made a decision, now I can appeal that decision. So in this, by the way, is Article 11 of the NALC Constitution for the government of federal and subordinate branches. Article 11. So now that I know I have this right, cool, I'm going to exercise that right. And yeah, sure, our new stewards are going to be installed in a month from the election, but fuck that. I have been jerked around, and I now finally have a chance to appeal it. I'm going to appeal it. But not only that, I'm going to go to the carriers at my station and garner their support for this, because they also think that I've been getting jerked around. So I made a petition that said, we, the undersigned, support the appointment of Alan Gygax to the vacant steward position at our station. And we have like 70-something carriers at my station, and I got 59 signatures. It's around 75% of the carriers at my station. So that's pretty strong. And I tell the president, hey, I'm intending to appeal your decision to the branch. And then I get a call from the branch secretary, who is the goodest and oldest of the good old boys in this good old boy network. And he tells me that, hey, we may not be able to hear your appeal. We got to really look at the rules. And I'm like, dude, the rule says I can appeal any decision of the president. Are you going to tell me that this decision doesn't fall under the umbrella of any? And he said, well, we got to look into it. And he tells me that ultimately the president will decide whether or not it's heard. And then if I don't like his decision, I have to appeal to the Committee on Rules, because it's a rules commission, or it's a rules decision, even though this decision, again, falls under the umbrella of any that could be appealed to the branch. So this is what I'm up against. So anyway, this is the day before the branch meeting. And I'm like, dude, I kind of need to know what's going to happen at the branch meeting. So the day of, I send him a text, the secretary, to say, hey, dude, what's the deal? What's up with my appeal? And he says, no, it's not going to be heard, because it turns out I was misinformed. The president actually didn't make a decision. He chose once again not to consider applications, even though that's his job and he solicited
for applications. So he still didn't do his job over a year later, even after all the complaints and even after you sending in the application, he still didn't do his job.
Even after specifically asking for applications.
Okay.
So not only did he not appoint anybody, he didn't even consider applications that he asked for to appoint.
So I'm just going to put something on that. It is the president's job to make sure that his steward is available, okay? The reason that the reason for it is that you're doing this stuff for the members, making sure that the steward who's actually doing the work, managers will get them paid. I mean, it's not a lot, but at least put them as an actual steward instead of an alternate. So he actually gets more power that way. You know, you can tell the management, hey, this is the steward. He should have all this power to do this, this, and this, or the not power or whatever. Having the ability being a full steward, because alternate steward, technically, I mean, even though because he's alternate steward doing the job of the steward that's not available, so he's technically doing all the job that the steward is not available, but might as well make him an actual steward. That way he can actually do the job as a steward.
Yeah, I get the impression that. And maybe you've gotten this impression too, that empowering the people below him in our branch president style.
Yeah. So it's what it is that he does not want anybody to speak up to him, and he wants that kind of power. So if anybody that is willing to speak up, I'm sorry, all the stewards all speak up, good ones anyway.
That's what stewards do.
Yeah, this is what we do as a steward. And so what he does is he shuts down all the stewards that actually likes to speak up, including you, including me. And so he shuts them so he can install his own steward who will not fight him, who are just a bunch of pussies, so that who will not fight management either. So in reality, he's looking for is something that's not good for members. It's bullshit.
This is certainly our perspective on it. This is what we're seeing. So we get now to my conversation with the branch secretary, and he tells me, yeah, so your appeal can't be heard because there's nothing to appeal. And he says, what I could do is make a motion during our meeting to say, hey, I want to force the president to consider my application like he's supposed to do. And I said, yeah, you know, I might do that. That seems like, you know, just as good, because in my head, I'm thinking that if I force him to consider my application and then he does it, and if he says no, I can immediately appeal that decision, thanks to Article 11, to the people at the meeting. And so, okay, you know, then I can still get to where I need to go. So, okay, I'll probably do that. But then the secretary tells me, but hey, you might want to really carefully consider whether you want to make a motion, because, and this is paraphrasing, of course, because if you make that motion, people are going to be able to speak up and speak against the motion, and you might not like some of the things that they have to say about you. There might be some things about you that get exposed at this meeting that you don't want to get out. I mean,
you mean the guy who's saying that is the only one who actually said shit about you at the meeting? Well, nobody else said anything about you except for that guy.
Yeah, we'll get to that part.
Okay.
So, you know, to me, it feels like blackmail. That, oh, we got some dirt on you that you don't want exposed, and so you better just, you know, keep your head down. And it had a chilling effect. You know, it made me think, like, dude, maybe I don't want this getting out. What did I do? And the more I thought about it, I couldn't think of any blackmail they could possibly have.
And you talking to me, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And right. I told you, no, this is bullshit. Yeah. You still need to fight it.
Right, yeah. Michael told me to keep going. Blackmail be damned. And again, you know, maybe this doesn't live up to meet the threshold of blackmail, but that was certainly the way it felt to me being on the receiving end of it. Like, hey, you don't want us to say like what we know about you. And he was saying that like he knew what it was. And so I said, well, branch secretary, why don't you just tell me what it is? And he says, no, come and find me before the meeting. Oh, that was first. His first offer was like, hey, come and find me before the meeting. Because, you know, like as a union brother, I feel like it's right to let you know, what's at stake here. And I'll tell you about it if you find me before the meeting. And I said, well...
Oh, wait. He's telling you, it's like trying to do you a favor?
Yeah, he's doing me a solid.
By trying to keep you quiet and shutting your mouth? Because he doesn't want you to say anything,
He doesn't want me to get embarrassed, dude. He's looking out for me. He's a stand-up guy. Yeah,
right.
And so I asked him...
Bullshit.
I said, dude, we're on the phone right now. Why don't you just tell me? And because really think about it, dear listener, think about it. If he really wanted, you know, if he was looking out for me and wanted to make sure that I had all the information I need and he had this information, what's stopping him from just telling me right there? And so he says, oh, no, I'm real busy. I got other phone calls I got to make, which I'm sure was true. And I don't have time to tell you right now. Well, we continue talking. And 6 minutes later, I go, hey, we've been on the phone for 6 more minutes since you brought this up. I feel like you could tell me that we've had the time. And oh, no, just find me before the brand, before the meeting. So we end the phone call there. And I talked to Michael, and Michael, yeah, to his credit, he's like, no, man, you got to fight. You've already solicited the support of the carriers at your station. You got to go forward with this. And for the life of me, I can't think of what this blackmail would be. It's not like I pulled my dick out in front of anybody or anything like that. Like, I don't think there's really anything that they have. And so
it was called empty threat.
Well, so then I call my campaign manager, Rich, who you guys met recently, and I got his opinion. And he says, well, let's look at what their dirt was before. The first dirt was when I got fired from the Carrier Academy that my podcast was anti-union. This very podcast that you're listening to right now, where David Grosskopf has been a guest, where James Henry has been a guest, where Fred Woodley has been a guest, where Richard Byrne has been a guest. And the one where I say, please don't leave the union, you know, this podcast, is that was their dirt first time.
Okay, so here's the thing. Yeah. Union is is one of the biggest democratic... thing that we got in our nation, okay? Yeah. Everything is built by votes.
Right.
Everything is built by people, memberships.
Yeah, being able to speak out.
Being able to speak out. Okay, right. This is what our union is. So talking about it on a podcast should be a big part of our union, where we can talk about things and talking about leadership, how they're working on how hard for us or failing us. Right. Okay, we can do both. Yeah. This podcast is supposed to be, a freedom of speech.
And my perspective on it is, if you want things to get better, you have to call out the things that are wrong. And now, From my perspective, complaining is when you just say, oh, this sucks, this sucks, this sucks. We're not doing that here. We're saying this sucks, and this is how it can be fixed. Like abiding by the bylaws, for example, is one of the ways it can be fixed.
Now, are you going to continue to the
meeting? Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, so then, talking to Rich, you know, he's like, so the first one, that your podcast is anti-union, that was stupid. And then the second one was when they had that smear campaign to say that I was not representing a carrier and that I got fired from my position. And then when they actually came to make good on the smear campaign and fire me, they were wrong and did not fire me. And so he goes, dude, if they had something good, feel like they would have used it by now. And it's okay. Sure enough. So we get to the meeting and this all went down late. As soon as we get there, Michael and I get served with charges, which is what most of the rest of the episode is going to talk about. We'll talk about those in a minute. But when we got to the end of the meeting and it was time for me to make my...
Maybe part two of the...
Yeah, we might podcast. Have to do a two-parter. Yeah. I don't know. This is kind of running on.
This,
we'll see.
Yeah, this is where we're talking about about you, that, which is fine.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So we'll see because it's almost done. So so we finally get to where I can make my motion. And sure enough, I make my motion and the branch secretary gets up to...
No.
Go ahead.
Before that.
Okay? Yeah.
So Alan is reading his motion. He's reading it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay? I had written a speech, which got applause, by the way.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Every time he was reading it, our president would purposely would tell him to look at him when he didn't tell anybody else to look at him.
That's true.
And that is a tactic to try to stir you.
To break up. To shake me up.
To shake you. Right. That is a tactic they're using. That's exactly what he was doing. And he was doing it over and over and over. And he was not being fair to you because...
No. And he was saying it in a condescending way.
Yes.
You know, like, come on, stupid. Okay. Look up here.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Which is... again, bullshit, because nobody else was able to do that.
So,
okay?
Now, in fairness...
Oh, he only did it when you did it.
Only did it to me, yeah. So, in fairness, because I am a good speaker, in fairness, he accused me of grandstanding, and he's right. I was grandstanding, and I know in Robert's rules, you're supposed to address your comments to the chair. He is right about that. That is absolutely true. But that's the first time I have ever seen it enforced. Ever.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing is, not only you're talking to the chair, but you're also talking to the members. Because,
yeah, of course.
Because you're filing it in an appeal. Yes.
Right. I'm appealing to
because
them.
Because of his decision.
Right, right. Okay?
So in reality, you're not really talking to the chair. You're talking to the membership because you want the members to vote
for
you. So in reality, our...
The president.
President.
Yeah. Or the chair was, of the meeting.
Yeah.
For that
well, he was wrong because you're addressing the membership... Not him.
He's
you
not
only
wrong.
Meant you're addressing him because of his decision.
Yeah, he's not wrong in the sense that Robert's rules say my comments should be aimed at the chair. And that is the rule. And I grant that 100%. Mm-hmm. It's just it's never, ever been enforced until it was my turn to speak. So I say what I have to say. And then, yeah, good call pointing that out, though. That is definitely worth mentioning. And then, sure enough, who wants to speak against the motion? The branch secretary gets up. And we all dig in. I hold on. Go ahead.
The branch secretary decided to walk up right next to you and talk shit about you. Okay?
Yeah, so he came out to the audience and stood like right behind me to make his speech against the motion. And so we all settled in, held onto our hats. Oh, God, here it comes. Here's what he's going to say. Here's the bombshell. And it was, Michael, do you even remember what it was?
All he said was that we made this decision because you were going rogue at the carrier academy because you were telling the carrier that was not in the rule
book. Right, stuff that wasn't in the book. Yeah, that I got fired from the carrier academy because I was teaching things that weren't in the book. And dude, 100% guilty of that. You guys have heard me teach. And, you know, I'm going through the Carrier Academy again now with you guys. And, dude, 100%, that's true. I teach things that aren't in the book because the book is not exhaustive. But
how old is that book?
Dude, the book is also embarrassingly old. Like, it still has MSPs in the book.
So, obviously, you have to teach something that's what's now and not from the past, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So, it wouldn't be in the book.
That's exactly right. And I talk about like how to be safe when you're going up to the door. That's not in the book.
Mm-hmm.
So, dude, he's right. You know, I taught stuff that wasn't in the book. But the implication that it was like unsavory things. Or
so wait a second. So they removed you for something that you were not teaching, or you were teaching something that's not in the book, but the stuff that you were teaching, was it illegal?
No, of course not. As a matter of fact, management never complained about the content of what I was teaching. They used the pretext of this podcast to get me out of the Carrier Academy. That went all the way up to Washington, D.C., where the union fought successfully to get my position back. Management never made the case that I was teaching anything that was inappropriate. And when I was fired by our union president the second time, he never mentioned, or he did actually mention something about that, which I immediately defended. But the ostensible reason was that my podcast was anti-union and they weren't comfortable having me teach.
So my question is what was the actual problem? What did they say that you were teaching?
Well, he said that I would mention, like, one of the specifics that mm-hmm. I remember, because he didn't have a lot of specifics, because he'd never come and watch me teach, except when we taught together.
Yeah, they had to have a reason why they were.
Yeah, so he said that, like, I mentioned that. UPS and FedEx. Like, when I'm teaching, I'm going to tell you guys here what I said in the class, because I taught the class enough times, it was essentially a script. Although, if you were in the class, it didn't feel like a script, and that's one of the things that made me a good teacher. So, I was talking about priority mail, and the whole point of it is to say how great priority mail is. So, you know, when you have a package that you're trying to send, if it absolutely positively has to be there overnight and you need that and you're willing to spend any amount of money, there's a company that specializes in that. And then at the other end of the spectrum, if you've got something big and bulky and you don't care how long it takes to get there, there's a company that specializes in that. And those are the two extremes of the shipping world. But then there's this big broad middle where you want things to get there quickly, but it doesn't have to be immediate, and you're willing to spend some, but not a fortune, and that is priority mail. And it is a fantastic product that covers this big range of service and is affordable and is really good, and I recommend it. That's the anti-whatever bad thing I was saying. That's it. Well, you just heard it, guys.
Well, here's the thing. The only criticism that I would talk about that would be, hey, man, that's probably something about how to sell the postage and so forth. Uh-huh. Probably not should be in the training, except for what the each class of mail is supposed to be. That could be something that he could have told you about, not to get fired over.
Dude. And I really still don't think that's inappropriate. No, to say that we have this product that
covers
this
huge
range.
Because you can teach them different classes of mail.
I do teach that. That's module 2.
What pre-sort standard is, what first class is.
I do, that's module 2. Yeah. And then when we talk about priority, because I also talk about express mail and how it's guaranteed and all that. Yeah.
That's something that we probably should know anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
So that was the bombshell. I hope you guys haven't lost all your respect for me at this point.
Well, so here's the thing.
Yeah.
So the vote came.
Yeah.
Okay. And the vote was that the yay or nay came for the first set of votes.
Yeah.
And it sounded almost half and half. But of course,
this is the call for the question.
Yeah. Of course, when our president looks at to go against Alan.
Well, no. For the call for the question, it has to be a two-thirds majority.
Right.
And it was hard to tell whether it was a two-thirds majority because, it's hard to hear that twice as many of one as the other.
Mm-hmm.
And the executive board that's all up at the front of the room, of course, they're voting as a block to not, not support me.
Yeah. Nine of them.
Yeah. Voted against you. Maybe it was seven. I thought it was seven.
Who was missing?
Dude, I don't know. Maybe you're right. So we have the vote, like the branch secretary comes and says all this stuff behind me. And there are other people who want to speak on my behalf, who have raised their hand to speak in favor of the motion. Well, somebody calls for the question. And now that means all debate stops and you just immediately go to yay or nay. And in order to do that, you're disenfranchising people. So Robert's rules require a two-thirds majority. So we do the yay or nay on going to the question. And it's close, but of course the president calls it for the yays, and I call for a division. We lost the division by one vote. And so we now immediately go to the question, and then I wind up losing the question by 3 votes. I lost it 14-11, and the executive board voted as a block, And so, yeah, if they wouldn't have voted, I would have won 11-7 or 11-5 or something like that. So, yeah, it didn't go my way. The same people who wouldn't appoint me in the first place did not appoint me at the meeting.
So, basically, so there was...
Over the will of the people at my station, yeah.
Yeah. So, his station voted, did a petition.
Overwhelmingly, yeah.
And so, basically, what I'm saying is the our e-board says... Fuck you to your station of wanting you to be a steward.
That's because, certainly what it sounded like to the people at my station. All of them
voted against you except for two. Okay. Yeah. Which was the executive VP and the VP.
Right.
Other than them two, all of them
yeah.
voted against you.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you know what that tells me too, including the trustees. Okay. Trustees supposed to hold the officers
officers accountable. That's right.
And so for them. And here's, so I'm
going to have further. To do okay. a two-part episode. You're right. Yeah.
So the e-board, okay,
yeah.
it was supposed to make a decision on you.
Right.
Which they actually never did. Dude,
and it's wild. Like, okay. I couldn't even get him to make a decision. Yeah. Like, to even begin yeah. doing his job. Step yeah. one.
So, because from what I gather is yeah. that the e-board never made a decision because you contacted them after the our president... told you
we're not prohibited that, from saying that yeah. that'll come up in episode two
yeah told you that our e-board made a decision that that you're not qualified so since
oh that was back a yeah, while back yeah, yeah,
and
yeah
since yeah. Paul did not give you information
even though you can say it yeah, I would still yeah, prefer that yeah, we just say
yeah,
the president
yeah president decided not to give you an executive reasons that's so correct. You
accept that and nobody
so you emailed yeah. to all the executive board.
I did.
And asking the reasons, and none of them like, what meeting? What decision?
Well, they said...
It seemed like nobody knew what happened.
They certainly couldn't point to a way that I wasn't qualified. I mean, right. credit to the vice president, mm-hmm. she did say that like I had made a wrong ruling on a kind of complicated opt issue. And you know, it kind of gone off half-cocked. And dude, fair... credit where it's due. I do go off half-cocked sometimes.
So what you're saying is that you have to be perfect?
Well, that's the question, right? Because ultimately, what are the qualifications? And no one was able to answer that, and they all yeah. kept just pointing back to the president.
So you mean all stewards don't make mistakes?
Exactly. And if I ever got the chance to get to the merits, yeah. because, dude, even in that meeting, when I made my motion, somebody yelled out from the back, what the hell are the qualifications?
Mm-hmm.
And that's 100% right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this whole thing is basically our e-board and our officers basically said, fuck you to his whole station at East Las Vegas. Because majority, how many people petitioned for you?
59 out of 70 something. Okay. And we had people on leave. We had people mm-hmm. as acting as 204.
And I'm sure you didn't get the vote from our president's girlfriend, I'm sure.
No, I sure didn't.
Okay. And the funny thing is, we still got majority.
Oh, and we have some scabs at our station too, who also, right. I didn't have them sign.
Did you get a petition from your other steward?
No. Okay. No, he did not sign.
He did not sign.
No.
Okay.
No.
Why wouldn't he want to sign? When he probably knows that really you do like most majority of the work.
I really like the guy on a personal level. He was my first friend at the post office. Mm-hmm. But he's not a firebrand like I am. You know,
why can't he just sign a petition?
I think and he's fine you. With the way the good old boys are doing things. Yeah. I don't think he has a problem.
But again, what's wrong with signing a petition?
That's a great question. I didn't ask him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just wondering.
It's all right. I had more than enough support.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
But if you're doing a lot of the work as a steward, I just don't understand why another steward won't petition for you.
Yeah. Okay. I hear you. I never asked him what his reasons were, and it's all right. Yeah. I do really like the guy on a personal level.
I know. Yeah. I know him.
Yeah.
Well, not personally, from all the stuff. Seems like a nice guy.
Yeah.
I'm just saying
he's funny as hell.
Yeah. I'm just saying is that, because I know his brother, because he's at my station.
Oh, there you
okay?
go.
Okay. And I'm not saying that he's not a bad guy or anything. I think he's a good guy. Dude. But I'm just surprised that he didn't petition for you.
I hear you. Yeah it would have been nice. One of the funniest things he ever said, we were out at a restaurant, and he was making time with the server. And they were kind of flirting back and forth. And he's very funny. He's charming. He's really easy to talk to. And he was being kind of a pain in the ass with a special order of his burger. And finally, the waitress gets frustrated, but in a flirty, fun way. And she goes, God, is there anything else you want me to put in there? And he says, yeah, yeah. Why don't you make sure you put some love in there too? You know, I want some love in my burger. And she goes, I'm going to put a finger in there. And he goes, use two. I can take it. Right on the spot, man. It was so funny. Oh, that was a good one. Yeah. So anyway, but that's neither here nor there.
So anyway, I mean, we were going to continue with the charge that was...
We'll have to come back to that, which was something about defamation.
Okay. Yeah. So to continue with this, the defamation a little bit, is that basically we got a charge for defamation because we talked about our election chair. Yeah. And but here's the thing.
Don't get too much into it.
We're not going to get into too much. Here's the thing is, you know, which I talked to Alan about this, that we as members, we have the right to talk about the leadership. Okay. Right. And the thing is that the other way around. The leadership can't really defame us back.
Yeah, it turns out it's there's something called membership speech.
Yeah, membership speech. And strong arming, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And so basically what Jerry did when he... Our secretary did.
Right.
When he came up to next to you and basically talking crap about you next to you and defaming you in front of everybody. And here's the thing. You've been asking the reasons forever. And then and the day that they decide to give you a reason is that they did it in front of everybody instead of talking to you person to person.
Right. When I asked personally, you know, I asked our branch president plenty of times before this and other people on the executive board, what is the reason? And couldn't get straight answers. And I asked about getting fired from the Carrier Academy. I mean, go back and listen to the second time I got fired from the Carrier Academy. You know, first it was the pretext of the podcast. And then when I confronted him later about it, and hey, man, do you really think my podcast is anti-union? Oh, don't put words in my mouth. You're just not a good fit. That was the reason that he settled on. Just not a good fit. So if the branch secretary would have gone up there and backed the president, he would have had to say, oh, this poor guy got fired from the Carrier Academy because he's not a good fit. Because that was what the branch president ultimately settled on as the reason. Because apparently, too chicken shit to tell me the actual reasons?
No, the actual reason is that because you're not kissing his ass.
Oh, I know the actual reason because I'm a boat rocker. Because I had the nerve to say, like, hey, you know those labor management meetings that we're supposed to have in our local agreement? We should have those. And... he ain't about that.
Well, there was a local management meeting, I think, what, a month ago?
And yeah, they finally had their second one since he's been in office.
And they're supposed to post and let us know what happened in that meeting with the minutes.
Yeah,
that hasn't happened. Nobody's got anything. You know what the biggest funny part about that is? That management had it and said, hey, it looks like we had a local management meeting.
Isn't that something?
But none of the stewards got it.
Yeah, and then they're supposed
Unless they did, they just opted to not give it to me and you.
Maybe. You know? I don't know. It's such a mess. So this is what we're up against. And the good old boys. So here's the thing.
I believe Alan should have been a steward a year ago.
Of course.
Okay. And that way he has the title to tell management, hey, this is what I'm doing. And that way there's no question with
the
alternate.
I mean, in theory, I have the same rights as the alternate. Go ahead.
Sometimes, right now, because the only thing is you have the rights because there is no steward. So you're doing all the steward work.
Okay.
So
we only have one steward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the thing is you're doing the same work that steward is doing.
Dang it. Sorry, guys.
You're doing the same work that steward is. So you should get paid the same as that steward because you're doing the same thing.
Of course.
Okay. And for over a year.
Yeah.
Okay. And our president failed to do that because he doesn't like you.
Yeah, pretty much. Dude, I can't believe I forgot to say this because this was also in the conversation with the branch secretary when he was trying to talk me out of my appeal, essentially. He said, you know, what's the point of doing this anyway? Because there's going to be new people installed next month. And so there's no point in even considering your application. And I said, well, you know, in September, the president solicited for applications. He asked people to apply. What was the point of putting out the call for applications if he wasn't actually going to appoint someone? And of course, the only reason he put out the call for applications is because I'm like, hey man, you're violating the bylaws by not appointing anybody. What are you doing to get this position filled? And after he insulted me, then he went ahead and put the call for applications out. So I said, what was the point of asking for applicants if you're not even going to consider the applications you get? And he says, well, he put out the call, but he only got one application.
Oh, that was you.
Yeah, it was mine. Mm-hmm. And I go, oh, so does that mean that he was willing to appoint a steward as long as it wasn't me? And the secretary said, yes.
Okay. But again, that's not being fair.
No, of course not.
Because that's considered that what you call acclamation. Okay. If nobody runs,
oh, right. Yeah.
You should be the winner by acclamation.
Dude, and that was the same bullshit with him saying, like, there's no deadline for applications. Mm-hmm. Dude, and come on.
But either way, he posted in September. It's currently in December right now.
Yeah.
So it's been 3 months.
Oh,
and he's still, after that, have
never
not installed
even
it.
Considered applicants.
So here's the thing.
Yep.
Next year.
Yep.
Okay. Now that we're going to have a re-election.
Yep.
And the contested people will be re-voting.
Right.
So you won't have a steward again because you have a contested steward.
Well, it turns out that, hey, if this ever happens where you are, it turns out that the tainted election, the results still hold until a new election happens. So like if your branch makes a misprint on their ballots and you accidentally have a giraffe running for president and that giraffe gets the most votes and you're like, wait a minute, the giraffe isn't even a member of the branch. The giraffe can't be the president. Giraffe doesn't even speak English. Well, when it's the time to take over, that giraffe takes over until you guys have a new election. So be careful about that. And dude, one of the most galling things. Oh no, that'll come up in the next episode. Stay tuned.
Yeah. So, but here's a thing too. Yeah. We're kind of getting that saying that Paul Barner said this.
Okay.
But when I talked to Paul Barron never said this to me.
Maybe he didn't say it to you, but in my researching rulings about branch elections, you can't stay in office for more than 3 years without a new election. And our term is 3 years. It's something we might want to consider changing in the bylaws so that we don't have this problem in the future. And so at the end of the 3 years, the new people have to be installed. And, you know, the problem is if you wait for all the appeals, you could wind up with the same people in office for who knows how long. Mm-hmm. Because it could go all the way to national, which is still a year and a half away. And the whole thing is just a mess. Which all could have been avoided if people in charge would have just read the election rules. I even did the courtesy of reading them for them. And I'm not interested.
Well, I want to go verify the ballots.
Yeah, well, maybe we should save this for the next one. Because that's going to be about the election more.
Okay.
Well, no, yeah, you can talk about it now. Who cares?
I went to verify the ballots. And and funny thing is that they had a tubs of all the world. They were keeping all the election stuff.
Uh-huh.
Okay. In there, there were all these books on how to do elections.
Oh, right. I got you. Yeah, yeah. So the rules
they
were available.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, and the spines were never broken.
So that's what I'm saying
is seal on
they
it.
Had it. Yet
right.
I don't think they read available. It.
No, apparently not. Or they just don't care.
I think Jordy tried to read it because he was doing stuff right.
Yeah, dude, at least he tried. You know, once
he's
he
trying it.
Installed.
I'm sorry. Sorry, Jordy. But
that's all right.
Election chair.
Yeah.
But he looks like he did everything right.
Yeah. At least he was trying.
Yeah. So maybe he actually read the rules.
Yeah. All right, dude. I can't believe we're almost 40 minutes and we just talked about me. God, that's so self-serving. I don't even like filing grievances where I'm one of the grievance because it feels like self-dealing. And here I am doing this. All right, so let's go ahead and end this episode now. We'll take a break, and then we will come back and talk to you. We're going to come back in like 5 minutes, but you guys will hear it a few days later, and we'll talk about the other stuff that went on at the election. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll catch you next time.